Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, we're staying with a related subject because Meat Industry Ireland and SIP2 have reached an agreement today on a detailed code of practice to protect staff in the industry from COVID-19. For more on this, I'm joined by Hannah Quinn Mulligan, who's news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and by Greg Ennis, the manufacturing division organiser with SIP2. Greg, to you first. You've agreed this with Meat Industry Ireland. Tell us about these new protocols and this agreement.
Yeah, the code of practice we've agreed, Damien, following our third meeting with Meat Industry Ireland over the last number of weeks. And the purpose of the protocol is, first of all, ensuring our members and, by extension, their families and the wider community safety, the continuity of what is an essential service, and obviously measures to mitigate and indeed suppress the virus. Meat Industry Ireland and SIP2 have agreed a number of commitments, primarily which will underpin and enhance and indeed support the HSE guidelines that were already in place. We're looking at things like all COVID-19 guidance will be in the national language of the staff. Because in some meat plants, we have workers speaking seven different languages, for example. We would have COVID-19 teams involving situ shop stewards and management with the necessary training provided. We would have continuation of serial testing, full cooperation with unannounced inspections. And then 13, I suppose, operational measures. I won't go into them all, but they're no longer ad hoc, like pre-screening, mandatory temperature testing, staggered break times, start times, daily symptom monitoring, and of course, isolation facilities and procedures for suspected cases. So, you know, procedures for dealing with farmers and livestock hauliers, etc. So it's quite detailed, it's quite comprehensive, and I think it is a step in the right direction in an industry that has been bedeviled with COVID since April.
Yeah, you say it's been bedeviled with COVID. The meat industry all summer would have been saying, we're doing our best, we're implementing all the guides that we can to try and protect our staff and protect the facilities. In dealing with Meat Industry Ireland and in dealing with the industry from a worker's perspective, how did you find that process? Did you feel that there was genuine buy-in from the meat industry?
Yeah, well, look, we've been looking to engage with Meat Industry Ireland and the Department of Agriculture since I wrote to Minister Creed back in April. We didn't have much joy in that. So I think, you know, the meetings were cordial. They were tough. We did get buy-in in the end. We didn't get everything we wanted on the likes of sick pay and so on. But we did make significant progress. And the key to this, is, as far as I'm concerned, and having dealt with this for a number of months now at this stage, is the serial testing is now showing up a 99.7% negative result. So 0.3 are showing up as positive. So we need to keep the serial testing going. We need 24-hour results. In other words, a turnaround time of 24 hours or less. And we need the government to legislate for mandatory sick pay. And I would be watching with interest the Labour Party bill next Wednesday as it moves through the Oireachtas to see, will the people who are talking about it being an essential service put their money where their mouth is, the likes of Pippa Hackett and others, to see will they support this bill. Because there's no doubt, as far as I'm concerned, terms and conditions are a key vector in the transmission of COVID within the meat industry. And this is the opportunity now for people next week to support what is a reasonable bill in the context of mandatory sick pay provision. Because without it, I think we will have to revisit this all over again.
By the very nature of the business, where it's very labour intensive, workers working cheek by jowl in an atmosphere of a meat plant, is it inevitable though, Greg, that despite your best efforts, that there are going to be more clusters and more cases in this sector?
Yeah, well, look, as you know, the virus is extremely transmissible, and who knows where the virus is initiated from. Is it coming from the community? Is it coming from a meat plant? No one can ever really say for sure. But what we do know is we've had a significant number of cases within the meat industry and right across the food industry. It's not just the meat industry. So this protocol will enhance what's already in place. I think it will be very, very effective. However, if we don't put all of the elements together, such as the terms and conditions and such as the call for mandatory sick pay, we have sick pay agreements with a number of Meat Industry Ireland employers. We will be looking for that to be standardised. We see Dawn Meats this week doing the right thing where there was an outbreak in Waterford. They are ensuring that their workers are not out of pocket if they're isolating or if they have contacted COVID. And that needs to be the standardisation approach until we get legislation which brings in mandatory sick pay for all workers in this country.
Okay, stay with me, Greg Ennis. Hannah Quinn Mulligan of the Farmers Journal has been following this story right from the very beginning. Hannah, good evening to you. Greg mentioned there about Dawn in Waterford and an outbreak of cases there. Can you bring us up to speed with where we are now in terms of outbreaks in meat plants?
Yeah, so the latest figures that we have is that there are 44 workplace clusters, and that's in food and meat production. So that's primary and kind of secondary processing facilities. And there are 1,664 confirmed cases of COVID-19 linked with those 44 workplace clusters as well. So that's where we're at. We know they've been quite high in meat factories in comparison. Say there's only been two clusters in dairy co-ops or processors. So we know that there's been a spotlight on meat factories over the last couple of months, and as Greg has pointed out, it's probably rightly so, and definitely there'll be a lot of people welcoming the news that potentially mandatory sick pay could be coming in. I guess there was some concern as well, and you'll have covered this, in terms of the testing for workers, that it was suspended out of the blue last week, where meat factories were emailed on a Tuesday evening to cancel tests arranged for that week, and yet we had the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell, go on RTE on Wednesday morning confirming that testing was still going on. So there was a bit of disconnect there. But what the Farmers Journal has heard this week from the HSE is that testing will continue. It won't be on every 2 weeks. It'll be every 4 weeks. And that's potentially down to capacity issues. So originally what was always planned was that 50,000 workers across the country would be included in this. And why testing was suspended last week was it just looked like the HSE had potentially bitten off more than they can chew, because only 15,000 of the workers were tested.
Okay, and you talked there about the number of clusters. Remind me again how many clusters associated with meat plants or outbreaks?
So with kind of primary and secondary processing, it's 44 workplace outbreaks.
44.
And there's about,
Out of an employment workforce of how many, just to give a sense of the scale of meat processing in Ireland and how many plants there are, do you have those figures, Hannah?
So it gets a little bit muddied, and this is where you have to be very careful, because out of the 44 clusters, we're talking about primary and secondary processing. So there are about 47 primary processing plants, and there are 15,000 workers working across those. And we know that there's a breakdown in terms of staff, that about, you know, over 50% come from outside of Ireland, and they'd kind of be the primary operatives on the ground who are on salaries of about €22,000, and about kind of 20% of the staff then come from Ireland, about 30% come from other European countries as well. So about 15,000 associated with 47 plants around Ireland, and about over 30 of those clusters out of the 44 would be in those primary processing plants, in those kind of slaughter plants that slaughter animals.
All right. And Greg, briefly back to you. A lot of people today, when they look at what's going to happen to restaurants in Dublin now and bars being shut down because of the potential of spread, they wonder, why is that attitude not applied to the meat industry? Is it as easy as that? I know it's an essential service, but a shutdown, is that an answer?
Well, look, it is an essential service, but Damien, unfortunately, that essentiality has not been reflected in the terms and conditions of those workers. And like, just a point that Hannah has made, I just want to very briefly touch on this. The cessation of testing last week was a retrograde step. Yes, it's back in place and we welcome that. But the fear I have is, if we're in a place where the capacity for testing is so tight that we have to shut down testing in the meat plants, well, then we're going to be in real trouble as we move into the winter influenza season. On March 19th, the then Minister for Health, Simon Harris, said we would get to 100,000 tests. We're not at 100,000 tests. Testing is the answer. Serial testing, repeat testing, rapid response to testing results is the answer. So look, shutdowns in meat plants or anywhere else, it is an essential service. We need food. The reality is this. If you're looking at a 0.3% rate of COVID now, and we keep on top of this by serial testing and repeat testing, that's no reason to shut down a meat plant. If we have significant outbreaks, yes, workers should be withdrawn for safety purposes.
Okay.
The plant should be deep cleaned, sanitised before they return to work. But they should be withdrawn from work without a loss of earnings.
All right. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Greg, thank you very much indeed. And to Hannah Quinn Mulligan of the Farmers Journal, thank you too.